Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. How are y'all doing? You know what? The time is going by so fast. Do you know that we're almost finished with this month, that we're going into the fourth month of 2015? I got to be honest with you, that kind of disturbs me a little bit, and you know why? Because time is going by so fast until we're going to get caught into some stuff. Do you remember the story of the 10 brides? How five kept their lanterns full and five didn't. There are some of us that is literally empty. And that is beginning to disturb me. I'm not even going to say God, because I'm positively sure that God wants all of us with him. And him wanting that would specifically disturb him, because he loves us so much. Yet it's disturbing me because of the fact that it shouldn't be this hard to get people to love you. What I mean by that is it shouldn't be so hard to get people to a point of understanding that the best way that we can show God that we love him is by allowing ourselves to love people. And the greatest gift that we can give people in the love that we get from him is getting people to know what his love looked like within us while we're demonstrating him, or I should say, by demonstrating him. I was talking to somebody and I was explaining how I'm going to work so hard, and I mean this with all of who I am, I'm going to work so hard to do everything within my power to make it so that we can have a one-stop ministry. What I mean by that, to build a ministry by God's Holy Spirit that would make it so that we cover any and everything that has to do in need of food, clothing, housing, sexual predators, sex trafficking, abuse, domestic violence, anything that is needed. And you know the reason why? It's because the more that we help people, the more we can get people to see how God helped us. And the greater that we can get people to see how God helped us, I believe this with all who I am. I declare and decree that people will come to a point of understanding the necessity of coming to God, who is the ultimate helper. I mean that with all of who I am. I know for sure that God is looking at his saints. I'm talking about his believers, and saying that I didn't just make it so that I can help you. I made it so that in my helping you, you can be a helper to somebody. You see, when I sent my son to you, I sent him to you as a servant. So I'm asking you to be a servant to me so that you can be a servant to others. And I'm asking you to do something that would allow you to satisfy me. And that's simply believe in me and go out there and tell people about me by you loving people like I love you. Or at the very least, to love people as you would want to be loved. God wanted me to share that with you. And it is really going to be the theme of what we're going to talk about today. But let me pray first. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. I'm overjoyed with you. I'm astounded by the things that you do. As a matter of fact, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to use us on a level. You know what, Father God? I reject that. You want to use us, Father God. Let us come to a point to where we want to be used so that, Father God, somebody who's being used by the devil, they can say they'd rather be a slave to you than to be a slave to the devil. I pray in the name of Jesus that in the name of Jesus, that everything that has to do with being with you, Father God, causes us to understand how great it is to be there for people as you are for us, Father God. I pray that we allow that light, that fire to exhort to the degree that everything we do will leave a trail of love so that people can see Jesus. That everything about us, nothing to do with our need that has to do with physical, that we come to understand that we need you in every shape, fashion, and form who feed us spiritually. So if we get to a point, Heavenly Father, that we are hungry, homeless, destitute, if we get to a point where we are thirsty, naked, that won't bother us nowhere near the amount of the people who don't know anything about you. I pray this in Jesus' holy name, that we allow ourselves to stop this mess with allowing people to go out here without having the goodness of your love so that they, Father God, can say, somebody loved me today. I pray these things in Jesus' holy and precious name, and I say, amen. My beloved brothers and sisters, I ask you to do me a favor. We're in the book of John today, and we're going to start at John 12 and 20. John 12 and 20. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm making a public announcement. I don't know how I just discovered, although I knew. A while back, as a matter of fact, I was just informed that I must have known because I've said it before. I'm dyslexic. Isn't it amazing? I'm growing to 60. Well, I got a couple more years before I hit there. But it's like, wow. The more you think you know about yourself, the less you find out that you know. Or maybe I'm just in denial, right? That could be. Yeah, it could be. Anyway, I ask you to bear with me because I'm going to train my eyes to read so that I can be more clear in my reading. Okay, I ask you to pray for me. Anyway, John 12, starting at 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, I hope I'm pronouncing it close enough, of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And then he goes on to say, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." That happens to be one of my most favorite verses, John 12, 26. I have spoken on that verse quite a few times. But you know what I did not do? I did not read what I just read to you. I mean, I read it to myself, but I did not read it to where I allow it to be a part of God's sermon. And I say God's sermon because I don't practice. I don't write nothing down. I just ask, Father, what do you want me to talk about? Honestly, I'm being very honest with you. I've never written a sermon. And I'm saying that because of the fact that I believe this with all of who I am. The Holy Spirit reveals what God wants us to say. Now, I honestly know that many should write down their sermon because it's good for them to do so. And I've seen and heard some powerful pastors out there. I'm just a baby, tell you the truth. But what I come to understand about what I just read, Lord have mercy, Jesus, is that Jesus is now coming to that point to where he's knowing that his time has come to an end on earth to regain his place in heaven. The only thing is, what he's about to do on earth, nobody would ever do willingly for every living soul on earth. You might do some things to help your children. You may give up your life, as a matter of fact. Many has, as a matter of fact. But here is Jesus about to, he's in preparation of, to give his life so that we can have life for all eternity. Now, why God has me speaking on this? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to ask you this question before I tell you. As a parent, or if you never had children, as a person who have great expectations for anybody, could be your friend, family member, whoever, when they fail you, or correction, when they fail themselves, doesn't it bother you? I mean, I remember this very clearly. There was a young lady, as a matter of fact, she's great to this day now, who was moving in a direction that was not good for her. Now, she's not my daughter. And I argued with her. She was carrying a knife around and being tough. And I said, you know, you're going to get yourself hurt. And you're so important. You're so amazing. You're so better than this. It was so disappointing to me. It was as if I was talking to my own daughter. And tears was rolling down my eyes. I gotta be honest with you. So now I'm bringing that up because ask yourself, has anybody ever disappointed you just knowing who that person can be? Now I want you to think about God. Us, God. Him knowing how great we are. Yet we won't allow ourselves to develop on a level that says, I am a missionary, an evangelist, a teacher, I'm a prophet, I'm a pastor, just a servant. Because that's what all of those that I just named is, just a servant. That I'm allowing myself the ability to specifically be what God did with every last one of his prophets, minor and major, to be a servant, so that each one of them can tell them, thus says the Lord. So that everybody can get a chance to know what God in their lives and what he has done in their lives. Check this out. We're going down to 27, right? Now just listen to what Jesus says. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Then he says, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. This ain't about me. First, he set everybody up that unless a grain dies, there shall not be a harvest. The grain is just by itself. It mounts up to nothing. Although, the moment that is used for its purpose, and it goes in the ground, once God lifts it up, here you see this wonderful field of harvest. So although he knows that he has to die a horrible death, which makes me feel ashamed. I'm going to tell you why. Because he died a horrible death. And all we got to do is die unto self. Nobody's beating us. We can actually live, us being in America, that is, and pretty much other places, we can actually live and receive all of the things that we call a necessity. All that is a necessity, food, clothing, water, shelter, and don't ever have to pay for anything. Yet we can't even die unto self to the degree to where we allow ourselves to love somebody to a point to where we say, I'm going to learn so much about Jesus until when I tell you about him, you can see why I love him so much. That I spent hours upon hours sitting with him, talking with him. I did everything that two people could possibly do to let it be understood that I want a relationship with you. I want to make love to you. And I'm not talking about physically. Please don't go there. But spiritually, Father God, I want to make love to you. I want to feel what you feel. I want to go through what you're going through. I want to go through the suffering that you go through. This says, I want to go through the long suffering. I want to go through your joys and your happiness and your goodness and your kindness and your gentleness. I want to go through the pain that you go through when you see when your children die. I want to go through these things, Father God, because I want to know what it's like to be able to love somebody in complete purity. Not with my expectations of what they should be or what they... I want to be able to give them that which allows them the ability to say, somebody led me to Christ, and he gave me life, or he revived my life and prepared for life for eternity. He loves us. Are we doing to let him know that we appreciate him dying on the cross? I mean, truly, what are we really doing that causes our Father in heaven to say, in you, I am well pleased? Because when you was naked, when you was hungry, when you was thirsty, when you was homeless, when you was sick, when you was in shut-in, whatever was going on with your life, you said that I am going to die unto self because there's a guy over there who don't know about him. You didn't even think of my needs. You cared so much about me. You loved me so much until you walked to that person and said, I got a story to tell you. Yeah, I know I look crazy. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I can't even talk really much, but you know what? I got a story to tell you. It's called radical. See, that's the beautiful part about Jesus. See, he's radical. He said, I got a story to tell you. So what was his first story? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 10, that you can touch by it. So I kept asking myself, what is going on that there's so many people going through so many things and we cannot fix it? What is happening? The reason why is because of the fact that we don't love the way we would want to be loved. Because if we did, I know what it's like to be hungry, as I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to sleep in the street. I know what it's like to have clothes that's dirty to the point you don't get to nobody. I know what it's like, and I mean this with all of who I am, to be so messed until you lose your teeth. Because you're so messed up mentally, emotionally, until you don't even take care of yourself at all physically. Anybody can tell you my teeth is messed up. But because of the fact of Jesus being who Jesus is, what my body goes through now is nothing in comparison to what he went through for me, which causes me to put down that spirit of selfishness that says, I cannot take time to learn about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the degree that I can take somebody from verse to verse to verse to show them how he saved my life, what he did to heal me, how he did this, what happened. I can take somebody, even if I don't even talk about the Bible at all, I can still proclaim Jesus in every shape, fashion, and form of my life to where literally I can cause a person to literally begin crying because they can feel the passion of the Holy Spirit crying out to them. Unless the person has not allowed themselves to be touched. Because there's no way that we can say that we love God and we don't allow ourselves to love man whom we see. It's impossible. The Bible says it. How can you say you love me, who you do not see, and you don't love he, who you do? What is love? What is this love thing? What is this stuff they talk in love? Why is he always talking about love? What is the purpose of it? Well, the reality is this here. If I was blind, hungry, destitute, if I was unable to walk, you know, being crippled, if I was unable to do things that would allow me the ability to have some form of peace and tranquility, I would want somebody to come and get me. Which is why I find it very difficult for people to, how can you pass somebody? I don't care if you got 2 pennies in your pocket. How can you pass somebody and say, hey, you know what? I ain't got much, man, but okay, you might, here's a penny. You're $0.99 away from a dollar, you know, but yeah, thank you. I love you, man. So I got to give you a hug because I know what it's like to be poor, not necessarily economically, but spiritually, emotionally, to love somebody as you would want to be loved. So in order to get to that point, this is what you have to do. Let's turn our Bibles to 13. Is it 13? No, it's 12. No, it's 15, 12, and 13. Thank you, Father God. I appreciate you helping me. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friend. I'm now emphasizing, because actually what it really says is here. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. But listen to what Jesus said after that. You, thank you, Jesus. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. If you do whatever I command you. Now, if you go to Matthew, thank you, Jesus, 28, starting at 19, he commissioned us to go out and share the gospel. It is so important. There's no greater love than to lay down your life and start. I don't know the Bible well enough. I don't know how to, you know, but I don't know. If you walked up to somebody and said, excuse me, sir, I just learned, or ma'am, I just learned how to recite John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do that sound right to you? You don't know if the person knew it or not, but it doesn't matter. You just spoke life into that person's spirit. It started a conversation in some shape, fashion, or form. Doesn't matter. Okay, check this out. He said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now, let's go to Genesis 1:26, which happens to be the first verse. No, it was the second verse that I ever learned. The first verse was Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Yes, I will help you. I will lift you up with my righteous right hand. But this verse is, thank you, Father God. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all creepy things that creep on the earth, and over all the earth. Everything is ours to manage. We have no excuse. And now we shouldn't even try to come up with the idea. Well, as soon as Father God put it in my spirit, as soon as I learn more about it, yes, I'm going to. No. Do you love people? That's the bottom line. Do you love people? See, because if you love people, you want to do what somebody did for you. You want to provide them with the reality of having the ability to cause the people to say, hey, what is this thing you're doing? I want to know about this. Okay, we're going to go back a little bit. We're going to go to 13, 34, and 35. If you did nothing else, do this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, check this out. Have you ever been with somebody that you love so much? Y'all love one another so much until when people see y'all together, they literally say, y'all look so good together. I've been there. I've heard that. Thank God for that. But now, you know what? How would you like to have it so much to the point to where you love your fellow saints so much until people say, man, that looks good? Because this is what Jesus is talking about. If y'all have love for one another as I have loved you, then all will know that you are my disciples by the love that you show one another. It will be attractive to other people. To the last days, I love y'all. God bless you. Take care of yourself.